can't be fixed by what Lowe's saying. And Lowe, you're right. They have to come in and at least on the surface say,
right,
we are taking these actions to restore the integrity of the game. The biggest problem, though, with baseball, and it's unsolvable, is the game is too slow. Young people don't want to sit down and watch a nine-inning baseball game when how many points of action are there in a nine-inning baseball game? Like true action to where you're going to be excited and titillated. You might have 30 or 40 instances over the course of 3 hours. You watch a football game, and each play presents the idea that something's going to happen. A play is going to be made, good or bad for your team. Someone's getting tackled. The ball's getting thrown, or it's going to be run. Even the most mundane play, the replay, and then 40 seconds later, you have another play. It's much easier to watch football inherently. Baseball, there's too much downtime, there's not enough action, and analytics is partly to blame.
There's too much competition, as I've been saying as well, right on that. Baseball used to go up against what in the summer? What was baseball competing with when it came to your attention span?
Nothing.
At night, if you were putting something on, it might be an episode of what? In the summer, everything's on rerun. Friends and Seinfeld was all on reruns back then in the summertime. You didn't have to worry about Netflix and Hulu and everything else. You had a video game unit, but you could only play so much of that.
Old Blockbuster.
Right? That's where it was. You'd have to go to Blockbuster to get a movie, for crying
Rent
out loud.
Rent 2, get the third one free.
Look at how action movies are made now, too. To your point on baseball and the points of interest. Take Die Hard, and we're not going to get in any sort of Die Hard debate, but take a great action movie like Die Hard. At least we could probably all agree on that. And look at how the action plays out in that movie. It sets up where he's, you know, at the airport, he's going to the building, he's meeting his wife, something happens, and then they establish and there's dialogue, and it moves from dialogue to action sequence to dialogue. Look at any Mission Impossible movie now with Tom Cruise. It's a never-ending action
right.
sequence. The first action sequence ends, and then they transition to a new European location, and it's into the next action sequence. Movies don't have the ability now, like Steve McQueen in Bullet, and Burt Reynolds and everything
right,
he
right.
was in, all that stuff, you don't do the dialogue anymore. You get right into the movie, and it's action sequence after action sequence after action sequence in order to hold your attention.
It is.
That's what people need, and baseball can't keep up with that anymore.
That's true. You go to a movie, and the first scene is something getting blown up, and then
right.
they get into the plot.
Right. Christopher
right.
Nolan's
right.
trademark.
Right.
Every
right.
Christopher Nolan movie starts. He comes right out of the gate,
oh.
and he hooks you in the opening 20 seconds
yeah.
with a big action sequence, and then you're in. What was the movie he did about the war? It was up for an Oscar. It was about the area between
Dunkirk.
Yes. Dunkirk is one straight action sequence. That movie never stops the entire time. You see the guys walking early, and then boom, gunfire, and it's on. It's on all the way to the end.
And you contrast that against like Saving Private Ryan, which had the amazing opening scene, but then there, like you're saying, there is dialogue, there's character development, and you see him marching through the areas, getting to the final and ultimate scene.
The second that action sequence ends, you know what happens? I go right to my phone. I got to check my phone because I'm not going to be entertained anymore. Now you want to have dialogue? Tom Hanks has something to say? I can hear it while I look at Twitter. I got to see what's going on. I got to see how many likes I got on Instagram.
My son's big critique of The Last Jedi, we went and saw it earlier this year. He said, Dad, there's too much action. And you compare that to Star Wars.
Really?
When Star Wars, yeah, it was too much. Like Joe's saying, it was one action scene after another. It's just boom, boom, boom. There's not enough time for even a little bit of character development. It's just all action scenes.
That's why I'm that older guy then, I guess I am, because I like those Shawshank Redemption. I like, you know, when you see, you know, I love the old Wilson when you had Tom Hanks and Wilson. It was just him.
Castaway. Yeah.
That movie would never work now.
It was one guy
in a volleyball.
But he held it. Right. But think about how he held. I mean, that movie won many awards because it was able to hold you. That's pretty amazing what he was able to do.
Yeah, that's great acting. You're being conditioned very differently now.
Right.
Every company out there is out to steal your attention. That's their goal. Everybody's trying to steal your attention span. 1,440 minutes in a day. How can I get two more minutes out of you? Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, they all keep coming out, right? And every single one of them hires people to come in. How can we make the product more addictive? How can we get you more hooked? How can we get five more minutes out of you? How can we get more screen time out of you? So now you're conditioned every time there's a lull. Think about 25 years ago, 30 years ago, if I was a kid at the grocery store with my mom, you know, you'd be sitting there, you'd be antsy, but you'd be next to her, you'd be in the checkout line, and that was it. The most you could do is pick up one of the National Enquirers, see if the aliens took over Barbara Bush's body.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what you would see back then.
Boy trapped in a refrigerator eats own foot was my favorite one.
Yes, there you go. You had to sit there and you actually had to wait. Now, everyone, phone comes right out. The second there is a lull in your life, you pull up to a traffic light. Here comes the phone. What's going on? Just mindless strolling. They have completely addicted you. Baseball does not play into that. Baseball is the opposite of that. Baseball is about sitting and scoring and watching, looking around and taking some time. And it just doesn't fit with how society is conditioning its members now. That's the biggest problem. There's so many options it's going up against. It's not like the product's any worse, but it's not going to. You can't change the sport to keep up with what's happening now.
So
you just can't.
So you're right. If that's the case, then you're going to see the numbers continue to dwindle.
Yeah, I don't know.
Nothing you could say.
Attendance is down for, I think, the eighth straight year last year. It's incrementally small numbers, but fewer and fewer people, especially young people, though.
But that's the thing. With all this scandal and stuff come out, baseball, what they need to do is they need to dump millions and millions of dollars into their youth. And if you really want to save it, you got to get little Johnny from the west side. You got to get little Billy from the east side. A little white, little black, purple, doesn't matter. You got to get these kids in America, and you got to say we got to either raise money for they can be affordable. You got to make it affordable. You got to get them to buy in, and you got to show them that there's hope. Because if you don't, that's why you see a bunch of the foreign come over and continue to play. But America baseball, is it big enough? Can the guys afford it? Even we're talking about in the 70s, the movies in the 80s, you had a lot of black TV, and it built up the network.
Good
and
times.
But then once it was gone, then they stopped playing it. You don't see a lot of it. It was a huge. In the 80s, 90s, you watch. Look at the shows. It built up TV, and then it was us. Baseball has to find a way to build its product, and you got to start with the youth. And that's going to be, can they do it, and do they have the resources to help? Because a lot of kids aren't able to play it.
The other thing is that kids now see that they can make lots of money playing video games.
Yeah.
You can make a ton of money playing video games. And if you're not born, like, look around this entire building. You, genetically, you're built to put yourself in a position where you might be able to make money playing sports. But you and I are not built that way. And if you look around the rest of the building, just most people are not built to play NBA basketball. You have to be a certain height. You have to have a certain skill set. You have to work very hard. I'm not trying to take away from that.
Mm.
But you're not going to be able to be a left tackle in the NFL if you're born like Dibs or born like me. It's just not going to happen. But anybody can see this path through video games and think to themselves, if I get really good at this, I might be able to make a lot of money. How much does that dude Ninja make? He's just
seven figures for sure.
$5 million,
I think, is where he is.
I think a company paid him like $10 or $12 million just to switch over.
Wow.
I heard some rumor that he was crushing it on his game was Fortnite. He's like the number one Fortnite player in the world. Some other game just showed up and said, we'll give you $12 million if you start playing our game. That was it. Just move your audience over to watching this game. Play this game and we'll give you 12 minutes. Think about that. That's it. Game over.
Right.
You don't have to work anymore. Nice guy's in my ear. He's got a bunch of dates tonight, courtesy of us. He says he's got some audio he wants to play, but he wouldn't give me any heads up on what it is. Today's show brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromise.
Well, there's a lot of details, but Cincinnati Reds pitcher Trevor Bauer, he had this 6-minute video he posted on YouTube, basically going off on Rob Manfred, the baseball's commissioner, and he talked about the problem with baseball and marketing and what it does. And here's what he had to say. Take a listen.
You can't even go to social media and see anything about the game. Steph Curry throws a bounce pass in an NBA game, and it's trending with 1.5 million views 5 minutes later. And Mike Trout goes and launches himself and robs a homer or something, and you can't find the highlight anywhere online. It's ridiculous. You got BAM, that baseball advanced media that was designed to just centralize all MLB content and force people to pay to have access to it. Great, you made a lot of money up front. But you centralize all this content, you make people pay for it, and you know what you get? You get a missing generation of fans.
He makes an excellent point. You've talked about this quite a bit.
Yeah, you can't go on Instagram, you can't go anywhere low and find highlights. Like he's saying, Mike Trout robs a home run, but you can't. If you're a fan and you watch it and you want to retweet it or you want to make a meme out of it, you put it up there, and within minutes, it's taken down. This content, you're not authorized to put this content out there. How many times have we seen videos of Steph Curry's warm-up routine, the two-ball dribble, and like Bauer was saying, Steph Curry throws a bounce pass, and it's viewed 1.5 million times, and it's not only robbing fans like us the opportunity to get involved with the game, but young people who, if you're a young person who likes baseball, Joe's right. You're on your phone. You're scrolling through TikTok and Instagram and all that other stuff. And if you don't have baseball content, you're not going to be thinking about baseball.
Think about kids and younger people who have made careers for themselves on social media because they've been able to, I don't want to say rip highlights, but like worldwide wob. Like Jeannie Buss from the Lakers loves him. He is a foremost authority on basketball now. Worldwide wob is huge. He's got a massive following because he loves hoops. And he's always just ripping a highlight here and putting it up with a witty comment or ripping a highlight here with a joke. And it's just over again. And he built up a following. He's now paid by multiple outlets to talk about hoops. He's a really likable guy. I know him. Great stuff. House of Highlights started that way and then got bought out by, I think it's what, Bleacher Report, Turner Sports in Atlanta. People who have the ability to take this stuff. How many guys have started as online scouts for NFL? And they're not even actual scouts for teams, but like they get jobs with companies breaking down players because they can grab a highlight from a game and then post the video up on Twitter and give their thoughts on it. Baseball will immediately revoke that content and then you'll get banned. So you have a bunch of young people that even if they wanted to become baseball analysts on social media and then work their career up, they can't use the highlights. Like every other sport, you can use the highlight and pull that off.
I think a lot of it too, like you're just talking about kids that can go and play games and do certain things. I get it. And you know, when you talk about, okay, there's golf and there's other sports that are out there that, you know, that guys that don't, you know, tennis, guys don't have to necessarily have the physical, you know, status or the physical attributes to still be successful and make lots of money. I think when you have to be careful, when I think that where the sports are going and just in general, but particularly baseball, when you guys are alluding to, hey, they take it down. You can't build your brand and all those different things that makes it more entertaining where fans get to watch. Football and basketball, they get it. They understand you don't own your brand. People do. And baseball's trying to own a brand. They're trying to own the brand and try to say, hey, we're going to make it elite. We're going to make it, oh, no, you can't do this. You got to take it down. They want to protect their content. But on football and basketball, they don't necessarily care. They let people do those tweets, let people post those things because they understand the more eyes, the more impressions, it's going to drive people to it. I think you have to be careful when you look at baseball and you look at sometimes you look at how people are getting over and what are they making it doing. They are now using, you know, like in analytics and a lot of these things, they're good. They have a place. But when you start saying, okay, this is what we need to do to capitalize the market. I can't play it, but I'm going to show you here. This is the way to do it. Now we do these analytics and we do these things. Now you start saying, now you get more of the more common people that you push away. You push away from the sports because now you're saying, oh, this is the only way you can do it. And then you take away the human aspect of it. And a lot of people aren't knowledgeable. There aren't people who are going to learn those things, the war button, all those different things are out there. And that's another way where you're losing a lot of crowd as well.
I'd never even heard of Baseball Advanced Media until he played that clip. And that tells you all you need to know about how effective it is as a marketing strategy. Because Trevor Bauer mentioned that in his cut that Steven played. And it's, I didn't even know what that was. And I just looked it up and they got over $600 million to generate this content, but they control the content. And you're right. You look at basketball Twitter. If I say basketball Twitter,
it's the best of all the Twitters.
And you know exactly what that is. It's because basketball fans take highlights and clips and, you know, whether it's the Shaqt and a Fool type stuff and it's retweeted. And you love it and it makes you interested in the sport. And if you're like, I'm an old school baseball fan, I'll watch baseball no matter what. My son, who's 16 and spends a lot of time on his phone going through the various social media networks, he's not being exposed to baseball content. So he's lost his fanhood in large part because of that.
It's not just that. The ability to dominate social through clips with dunks and big plays. Remember when Harden shook what's-his-name out of his shoes and the guy fell down and we did like a whole show on it? Harden stepped back, knocked down the three. Kalenic came in. We talked about that all day. That highlight was everywhere. Baseball misses the boat in a huge way on that engagement because that's you got to be able to package it for everyone. You got to make it simple. You're trying to steal people's time. For example, where was I going with this? You know what? Will and Dublin.
Will.
Yeah, I'm going to get my thought back. I had it. I lost it. I had it. I lost again. Will and Dublin, you've been patient. Welcome to the show. Fire away.
Thank you. So I was just chiming in on the difference between steroids and sign stealing. And I think sign stealing is leagues worse than steroids because with the sign stealing, like, for example, if I knew that, like, Jacob DeGrom's slider was coming at me, I'd still probably tear my ACL trying to hit it. But if you have a professional athlete, which is what baseball players are, and they know what's coming, you can be Ichiro you know, who's a known, like, singles and doubles hitter. But if he knows what's coming, he could change his swing. He could use the launch angle approach, and you can take, like, a single double hitter, and he can be a home run hitter if he knows what the pitch, if he knows what pitch is coming. And that's why I think the science ceiling is leagues worse than the steroids, because with the steroids, you still need to have that hand-eye coordination. You still need to have that patience, that pitch recognition. But if you know what pitch is coming, that eliminates the guessing game completely.
Appreciate the phone call, Will. And, Lo, that speaks to your point earlier, too.
Right, right.
Juicing can make you stronger, faster, all that stuff, but you still got to figure out the strategy of what's coming and how do you swing at it versus if you know it's a curveball, sit back, wait, and unload on that thing. And right. You don't need the juice to pull that off. What I finally remember the thought, Jimmy Fallon. I don't know anyone that actually watches Jimmy Fallon, but everyone's familiar with, like, all of Jimmy Fallon's bits because Jimmy Fallon's show is designed to be consumed in 2 to 4 minute video increments on YouTube and around social media. So he does this whole show. He has an audience, but every little piece of it shows up as, hey, here's Fallon having Justin Timberlake on and they did this sing off. Oh, ha ha ha. I didn't have to see the monologue. I didn't have to deal with anything else. I just know Fallon's doing this show, and it comes across as funny because I'm just getting the highlights. All this stuff's out there. Like, baseball's, no one knows about Mike Trout. You don't see Mike Trout doing Mike Trout things. Like, again, that's got to be out there. I don't want to see James Harden every night, but damn it, every James Harden 40-point game is in my face via highlights and clips and media packages on Twitter. It comes across right. everywhere. Zion's right. going to be everywhere, too. Zion's probably already getting to a point where he's going to be more famous than Mike Trout. Well, that's not good. It's not good if a kid who's played, what, 10 games at this right. point, 11 games, is already going to be more popular and more well-known than Mike Trout. But we've been seeing clips of Zion dunking in high school for a few years. We saw him at Duke right. on TV for a few years, blow out the shoe. Wasn't that everywhere? Mike Trout makes a huge play in the outfield. You don't see it. You might catch it, and then you go back and you click the video. This video has been reported as copyright infringement right. and is no longer accessible. Like, that doesn't scream cool. Like, when I see that copyright infringement took place, I don't think, hey, that's cool.
And it's not going to get viral if it only comes from the MLB account or from the Baseball Advanced Media account or from the Angels account. The way these things happen, and you know this, it gets from millions of people. It's a retweet, and it's yeah. shared, and it's different people come over the top, and that's how things spread. And that's how, like, when Zion swatted that kid last year at Duke when he came out from the key and reached high. And
last night, pretty big swat like
exactly.
that, too.
Exactly. And I'm sure that thing got shared right. thousands and thousands
right.
of times.
You're right. There's baseball just missing it, Joe. You got Juan Soto and you got Mike Trout. Why aren't those guys on commercials? Why don't they have them out there being the face? They're good looking guys. They can hit the ball long ways.
It's like a Heisman Trophy campaign. You got to pump them up.
Yes,
like you have to go out
yes.
and pump them up. And then once we all know them, we want more of them.
Right.
We knew who Peyton Manning was. So then guess what? We knew who Baker Mayfield was. He made a couple comments. Everyone highlighted it. It showed up on social. Progressive gave him 52,000 commercials over
right.
the course
oh
of the season.
God, at least.
And now we see him everywhere. You shouldn't know Baker Mayfield more than you know Mike Trout.
No way.
And that's a big problem for Major League Baseball. What's coming up in the game is brought to you by Outdoor Supply Hardware. More phone calls, 888-957-9570. Phone lines are open all day. Sean Salisbury, former NFL quarterback, who is on the Houston Astros flagship station. He's going to join us next to talk about this disaster of a day of press conferences the Astros had yesterday. And a shout out, a one day early shout out to my brother Ryan, his wife Shirley. Their anniversary is tomorrow. They got married in Marathon Island in the Florida Keys. Great story about how my other brother got so drunk the night before, barely made it. All he had to do was stand on the beach for like 5 minutes during this thing, barely made it. But shout out to the other brother and his lovely wife for their anniversary.
Congratulations, Rai.
Outdoor Supply Hardware, now open with 4 convenient locations to serve your hardware and garden needs in Napa, Capitola, Moraga, and Berkeley. Outdoor Supply Hardware, it's like coming home.
Now, back to Joe Lo and Dibs.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get you going.
No,
I mean,
you did.
You did.
You did
that's,
mean
that's
it.
All, that's a lie.
And that's why I'm firing back.
On 95.7, The Game.
Update on Lo versus Dibs, the disgrace at Chase, scheduled for Wednesday, February 26th. That's coming up in a little bit. But right now, we're going to the phones. Former NFL quarterback. You can check him out now. Sports Talk 790 in Houston, 6 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday, host of the Sean Salisbury Show. It's Sean Salisbury with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Sean, we appreciate the time this morning. We're coming right to ground zero. What's the thought and emotion behind Astros fans right now after everything they saw and heard yesterday coming out of Arizona at spring training?
Guys, I think it's like three layers. You're going to get the and I mean this kind of affectionately, the slobbering homer that it doesn't matter what they say, the Astros through and through, don't care what the world thinks. Cheated or not, everybody's doing it. I love them, that attitude. You're going to get the hardcore baseball Astro fan that loves them but feels disappointed. And then we've heard it all, that like feel like they were, that there more could have been done. And then you're going to get the, obviously, the people outside of Houston that don't like the Astros, that no matter what you give them in a press conference, they're not going to be happy with it. Listen, we all saw. I think there was some, the initial press conference was disappointing. I thought that, you know, when you make your bed, you got to sleep in it and face up the music. And I think we want that society. We want you to stand there and take the sledgehammer that's going to be issued to your head and say, here's how we feel, and then answer questions. Now, they did do a good job in the post. I thought, and we are the flagship, but you guys know me. It doesn't stop me. I've been critical throughout this whole process and complimentary when necessary, and the Astros aren't above criticism. And I think Jim Crane's answer when was asked that, and I think it was a mistake. And I think that made the whole press conference, and I think Jim Crane's a good owner. But when you answer it like that, it opens up even more can of worms for people to go after you, and they have been and will continue to all year long, and the team's going to face it. So they know the cheating went on. Now you're going to have to just know when you go into a stadium that the fans and media, you're going to get asked it. How you choose to answer, it's on you. I thought Carlos Correa did a nice job in just yesterday of the way he approached it. I think there was some remorse. And there are still things that are unanswered. I know that, guys. But there comes a point in time when you're the Astros now. You've apologized. How any of us choose to take their apology is up to us. Now you've got to focus on baseball, because the best remedy is to go win and play good baseball. But no matter what, if you win, people are going to say you're still cheating. If you lose, they're going to say, see, you need to cheat. And they're going to say, and by the way, you didn't handle press conference well. So I thought there were different layers, guys. I thought some handled it well. I didn't like the initial when the up there and poor Dusty's looking around like, okay, I'll handle this. And I thought Mr. Crane, who I like a lot, but he's not above criticism either, is the leader of the franchise. I think he worded his answer wrong, and the Astros deserve this criticism. But there also comes a point in time when you got all your flesh, and now you got to go prove that cheating isn't who you are, that you made a mistake that people make, and now you got to answer to it, and you got to sleep in that bed, man. That's the way it is. We're about to find out how mentally, emotionally tough they are, because this is the rock bottom for the Astros franchise. Yet they're still talented, so I think that there's a lot of layers of it, and even people that love the Astros were disappointed by some of the things they heard, but also encouraged by some of the things they heard. That's what I've understood.
We were talking about their first road series being out here in Oakland, and fans are excited and eager to see Houston come here, and the reaction will be interesting to see. If the Astros come out and they speak more definitively about the nature of the cheating, do you think that that helps to put this to bed, and do you think that the organization will ever come out and be more specific about the ways in which they cheated?
No, I don't think so. I think when you heard the answer, we won the 2017 World Series. We don't think that helped very much. Now, we can all – I asked Billy Ripken the other day. He was on my show. I said, does knowing – hell, if Lo, you know this. If I had known all the coverages, I might have been pretty good. I know I got to still make the throw, but damn, if I know I can throw a bang post in there and you're playing single high safety, I might have made a Pro Bowl once in a while if 18 guys were hurt in front of me before February. that being said, of course, and he said, Sean, knowing the pitch is monumental. Well, everybody has their opinion. I know you got to put your bat on the ball, but come on, if I know a high fastball is coming, and it's not just the pitch to hit, but the pitch to lay off, right, guys?
Right.
Chris Sale back heel slider that nobody can lay off, and you lay off it. So, listen, they're not above criticism, but you're right. I think people, and the question is, if you're the Astros, how much more, I mean, the truth is, guys, no matter what they say now, it's probably still not going to be enough. But I'm always one of those. Think about Andy Pettit with the steroid thing, guys. Remember, now, when we talk about the steroid era, and, you know, when we start throwing names out about people who were mentioned and who were kind of chastised for it, Andy's name, he's the oh, by the way guy. And you know why? He jumped out in front, said, I did it. I confess I did it. Not I confess he did it. Mm-hmm. I confess I did it. I tried to rehab. I thought it'd help. I wanted to get back faster. And everybody like, oh, okay. Well, we forgive him. I think we love that. We like to tear people down, even if it's self-inflicted, and then build them back up. And, you know, I think there's times when the Astros have handled it right. You know, Jim Crane jumped out in front and said, well, we're not having this with Jeff Luhnow. And, you know, there's still more damning stuff that comes out with the Wall Street Journal and with A.J. Hinch. I was a little bit disappointed that not one player that I heard, even though Dusty's there and Dusty knows he's been around, he's perfect for this team, didn't come out and say, I just want to thank A.J. Hinch. Because he really did fall on the sword, even though it was self-inflicted and he should have done more. He really did just sit there and, well, he protected them all when he didn't really have to now. And I didn't hear one guy say, man, even without explaining, just say, I just want to thank A.J. Hinch, you know, for what he did for us as our leader. Regardless, you know, if they would, but I don't think you're ever going to hear it, guys, because I think their philosophy is, and there's a hint of arrogance on this team. There is, and I think you got to have that. Everybody has those guys. But I think they've apologized enough that they're not going to give any more fodder. Now, if somebody 20 years from now decides, yeah, I remember he broke the monitor, but we all laughed, and Carlos Beltran said, screw that, you know, whatever it is. But I think they feel like what they've apologized on is sufficient enough. But I think questions are, why didn't anybody step up? But, Lo, you know this, being in a locker room when 52 guys are saying, let's do it, and everybody's winning. They're like, well, how do I be the one that goes against them? And then you say, well, maybe that one should have. I don't know the answers, guys, but I know this. I don't believe you're ever coming in there to the press. I don't think you're going to – they're going to defer. I don't think you're going to get a lot of answers coming there. And they're going to get hammered by the media and by the signs in the stadium and by fans. But guess what? When you self-inflict it and you earned it, then you better be tough enough to deal with the ramifications. And Astros fans are going to defend them. They're going to get a standing ovation in their own ballpark. But they're going to go on the road this year and find out just how tough they are.
No question, Sean. I couldn't agree with you more. Where do you see baseball? Is baseball in a better place? Do you think more teams were doing this? This is why no one's really coming out. You think more teams would have this egregious of an act? Or you think the commission has said, hey, look, guys, look, if we continue to talk about it, bottom line, it's going to hurt our bottom line, which is going to hurt your bottom line, which is the pocketbook. Why is it you thought there would be more out there?
Yeah, Lo, I do. But here, again, listen, if you have kids, just because one of my kids was late for school or if he cheated on a test or one of your kids did, it doesn't mean if the other two cheat on a test, you're like, oh, cool, my other two decided to cheat, so that makes everybody okay.
Right.
That's that thing that drives me nuts here. It's like, well, the Yankees and the Yankees and the Red Sox and everybody's doing it. Well, I don't believe everybody's doing it, especially to that level. Do I believe like we all did in Little League or when I was on the sidelines in the NFL as a quarterback, you're trying to pick up the signal or trying to understand what the third base coach is giving so you can steal? That's as old as baseball is. I get that. That's called gamesmanship. But is everybody? No. Do I think there's more teams? Yeah, of course I do. But that doesn't – I'm not – yeah, man, I feel better because the Yankees did it too. Come on. One sin doesn't mean that four others are right. And
sure.
I'm being self-righteous. Hell, you want to win. Everybody wants an advantage. The Astros took the advantage to a whole new level. They perfected the art of center field camera. I always think, and I'm not trying to laugh, but think about how they implemented it. Okay, dude, stand here with the trash can. I'm going to go out there, turn the music up in the stadium. You bang that trash can. I'm going to stand at the plate. I'm going to see if I can hear you. And then on the mat, you know what I'm saying? How elaborate it really is. So do I think others have attempted to? Sure. But do I think every team in baseball has a center field camera installed and they went to those and with what came out in the Wall Street Journal with the, you know, the code? Hey, listen, analytics are nothing more like we have in football, study and tape. On third and 10 at the 20-yard line, they play 80% cover two. Well, that's analytics, okay? We have it. But you know what? When I got their signs because I had a camera on the sideline and I can pick it up, yeah, it's a problem. So, Lo, I think baseball, like the steroid, we need something good coming out of this, a big season. I don't think the commissioners handled it well. I don't. I don't think. And you damn well know we don't want 15 other teams found out. Why? Money. Bottom line cuts into it. Do I think they could find something if they dug deep enough? Yes. But you know what? The Astros shouldn't be thinking about that. The Astros should be thinking about how we're going to fix our sin. I'm not worried about the other sins. But yes, I think we'd be naive to think that Carlos Beltran only cheated and brought it to the Astros. Carlos sifted through the clubhouse in New York. Alex Cora, Boston's going to get there. So listen, I got double whammy. I'm a lifelong diehard Red Sox fan. And I have the flagship, and the Astros are my team in Houston. What a sucky season. And then Mookie Betts is traded. Listen, you guys got any room for me up there? I'd come be a Giants fan and root for Boch, even though Boch isn't there anymore.
Good Jesus.
So, yeah, guys, you know what? Baseball suffered, but they came out of it pretty damn good with the steroid era. You know what they should do? Jim Crane, all these owners today, I mean, free hot dogs and beer all year long. That'll make them happy.
I love it. Former NFL quarterback, host of the Sean Salisbury Show on Sports Talk 790 in Houston, 6 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. Sean Salisbury with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Sean, we always appreciate the time. Great stuff as always. Have a terrific weekend.
You guys are awesome. Next time we'll be talking about good stuff instead of all this crap. I appreciate you, fellas.
No doubt. No doubt. Sean, we'll talk to you soon.
Hell of a guy. I used to love hanging out with Sean. We've had some great times down in San Diego.
Did you ever play together? Or
no,
just knew each other through the league?
We knew each other through the league, and then, you know, he did TV and stuff, and he'd interview me. And then Junior Seau's golf tournaments, we would all get together. And we'd get it in. We had some sleepless nights, I could say that exactly.
Sleepless in Salisbury.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm a bit concerned. I'm going to be completely honest. I'm a bit concerned here. The disgrace at Chase, February 26th, you two playing one-on-one at Chase Center, 2-11, losers outs. All this talk of cheating, the Astros scandal, I'm worried, and I'm not doing this as a radio, but I'm worried, do I have to worry about either one of you? Is either one of you looking for any sort of competitive edge? Dibs, you were adamant that you want a true master of the game to officiate this thing. We're hoping we can get Kalena to do it. You've both agreed that if Kalena will be willing to ref the game, you'd be okay with that, but anyone going to be trying to slip anything into their shoes for a little extra height? Anyone going to be rubbing chicken grease all over themselves to get a little slippery? I'm wondering.
I think Dibs might not cheat, but I think he might be putting some of the icy hots and some of the different lotions on his body to keep him lubricated because, you know, he's a little stiff and his knees and stuff won't bend as well as he likes. So he might. I don't think it's cheating, though. He'll just be lubing up because he wants to be able to move. So.
You're going to cover yourself in lube before the game.
No, I will use the product that he actually gifted to me out of the kindness of his heart. He does many kindnesses for many people. He gave me an icy hot-like CBD cream that I've already used, and it works. It kind of heats you up, and it gives you a little bit of the healing power.
Where are you using it?
Where aren't I using it?
Lots of body ailments.
Yeah. Currently, when the injury report comes out next week, there will be multiple commas. Mine actually will probably be two lines worth of ailments because, as I was telling my son Keon over the weekend, the good knee, the quote-unquote good knee, has been absolutely killing me. The bad knee is a bad knee. The bad knee is always a 6 on the pain scale, 1 to 10. That's 24/7. The good knee has been like a 3 or a 4, but now really? It's like a 5 or a 6.
This is shocking to me because I released the point spread at low minus 3.5, and a ton of early money came on Dibs. Current market is low minus 2.5. Now, very quickly, for those who are unaware of what we're talking about, next week you're going to have a chance to come to Chase Center and participate in a free throw shooting contest. We had an argument with each other on a text thread a couple nights ago. Don't worry about those details, but we called our friends at the Warriors, Bob Myers, Raymond Ritter, all the great people that worked there. They were willing to help us out. They gave us the gym, and not the ancillary gym or the practice gym. We actually got Chase Center.
I love that you call it a gym.
The gym, yeah. It's my backyard gym, you know. You know. It's Mission Bay Attaché. I'll be welcoming everyone in along with the Warriors on this fine day, but not either here nor there at the moment. So they said we could have the gym. And we said we're going to do a broadcast, 6 to 10, although we're going to cut it short, and I'm going to tell you why. We're going to do our show at Chase Center Wednesday, February 26th. 10 of you are going to win a chance to participate in a free throw shooting contest, all right? That's going to work next week, Monday through Friday, each day, 7:45 a.m. and 8:45 a.m. That's how you win. Listen to the show because we're going to ask trivia questions based on what we've talked about during the show. But we've got 10 spots to give away next week. You can bring a guest. Guests will not be in the contest, but the guests can come and hang out. So we were talking about it. We were setting this thing up. It was awesome. Joe Lowe and Dibs free throw shooting contest. Next week, you have the chance to win Monday through Friday, 7:45 and 8:45 a.m. each day, 10 of you. And Lowe sat here and I went, who's going to win a free throw shooting contest between Lowe and Dibs? Standard question. Lowe just waves at me and says, I concede. I don't care. He'll win. It doesn't matter. That's uncharacteristic of the big fella, competitor
right,
by nature.
Right.
But then he says in a one-on-one competition, he would smoke Dibs, to which Dibs was quite angry about.
Quite angry.
A fight broke out. We immediately reached out to the Warriors, and the Warriors said, hey, a one-on-one battle's going down. So we're going to have two events. We're having the free throw shooting contest, and we're having Lowe versus Dibs. It's being billed, not as a thrill in Manila, not as the rumble in the jungle, but the disgrace at Chase. Mm. The disgrace at Chase,
love
February
it.
26th, Wednesday. We're going to be there. We got you guys, no lie for those who are just tuning in, we got you guys shoe deals.
Shoe deals.
You guys got shoe deals. You're going to be wearing brand new Curries out there for the matchup. It's 2:11. We're working on a ref. We will stream it. If you go to Instagram, 957 The Game, follow us. We're going to stream it. We're trying to get some play-by-play people involved for that. We're thinking about doing the game at 9 a.m., so I will be on the radio talking about the game. Someone else likely to join me, do a little play-by-play, hoping to get maybe Tim Roy involved. But you guys are now less than 2 weeks away from this monumental event. We opened it low minus 3.5, early money on Dibs down to 2.5. I'm wondering, I think we need to have an event either the night before or very close to the actual day. Maybe it's a dinner and some guests can come in. I don't know if a restaurant wants to put us up, but we basically have you two guys do the square off. You address the fans a little bit, talk about your pregame rituals, what it means to you, and then we have a nice dinner. And then the next night or the next morning, you guys will play. Or the Warriors are playing the Kings the night before. Maybe you're at Chase Center. Maybe you're at Chase Center for the people, shaking some hands, trying to politic a little bit the night before the game, something like that.
We'll shoot around and something like that, you know, in order to get acclimated with the court. Because, you know, I've played so much basketball in so many different gyms, but I haven't had the opportunity yet to play at Chase. And I know that the depth perception and the floor, there's different individual kind of accoutrement with each different basketball arena in which you play. So I would like to maybe get in there and stretch it out and get a feel for the court before I handle this light work, which is Lorenzo Neal.
Light
which
work.
Will be, well, light, obviously, figuratively, not literally, because he's a heavy load. But it's just so amusing to me how much trash he talks. I've been such a big fan of his athletically, but this time he's a little bit out over his skis. And I don't know if he's ever skied, but you never want to be out over your skis, because what happens is you tend to tumble and you tend to topple. And this is one of those cases where he's out over his skis and he's headed for a big, big time public humiliation. And part of me is sad about that.
Have you skied before?
Water skied. I never did the snow skiing at all. But water
just curious,
skiing,
figured
yeah.
that was a follow up that needed to be
yeah,
asked.
But if you do,
you hear this commentary though.
Even in water skiing, you get out in front of your water skis, you're going to tumble as well. He's right that you will. But I look at
what kind
Dibs.
Of boat pulls low on a water ski. Like you're gonna need like a Miami Vice jet boat,
cruise ship,
aircraft carrier.
Gun that thing.
Low water ski behind an aircraft carrier.
Once I get up though, Joe. I can drop the rope and ski without it
in the wake.
In the wake. And,
really?
Yeah. So I've had some opportunities to do that as well. So
it's not easy to do. That's an impressive athletic feat.
That's where I'm going somewhere with this, because of the athletic ability. I look at Dibs and I understand the guy's played basketball and understand he got cut his made it his freshman year, got cut his sophomore year and transferred schools, got cut again. So I look at the guy, he's got cut numerous times for basketball. And so I'm looking at this guy, so he made a team when he was a young lad and haven't made it since. So, and then he said he went up to his college team and he didn't make the co-ed team. He got cut there again. So I'm just listening. He's telling
ballpark.
Me.
Ballpark.
Telling
through
me
a
all
lot
these
of historical
things. Yeah,
cause I'm just, data points that aren't all that great for you.
I'm getting these data from him, and it's just amazing that all the listeners, so many people are coming to Dibs. He's going to beat you, Lo. I got to go with Dibs. And I got texts from people. Man, Lo, I know football, you'll get him, but this. And it's like, I understand. Now, we're playing tennis, and even though he can't move, I'd concede because he's played tennis, competed, and I'd say, and I played tennis, but I'm not.
You really seem like someone who, rather than compete and possibly lose, it's just conceding. Lots of things you're willing to just concede.
Yeah, because
tennis, I concede.
Well, if we were to wrestle or box, I would concede. And right. I was going through this yesterday. If we picked 24 sports, if you picked 12 and I picked 12, probably 10 or 11 would be mutual concessions. Yeah. There'd be no sense in us playing badminton, for example, or us Greco-Roman wrestling. These
you
are
a
not,
great badminton player?
I'm excellent with the shuttlecock.
Where are you at on badminton?
He'd probably give me. He'd probably on horseshoes. I'd challenge.
A game of horseshoes?
Yeah, and bowling, I'd challenge him. Now, when it comes to
bumpers, of course, wouldn't expect you two playing in true lanes.
But that's the thing that just I'm just so perplexed about this whole thing. It's like, okay, what can he do? Last night, believe it or not, I'm watching a little basketball last night. I'm just laying in bed.
You watched that Clippers-Celtics game?
Oh, my God.
That was a great game last night.
Double overtime and just watching that game. And I was like, what can Dibs do? What is he going to do? He can't move.
See, this notion that I can't move is fraudulent.
Chilton Auto Body text line 559. This is Lorenzo's high school football coach. I can't believe we are even having a conversation about a non-athlete and Lorenzo. He was a little better than people think. I have details if you want to know. He's, I already know about the naked shower wrestling, Coach. Thank you.
Coach will tell you that I wrestled, but he'll tell you that he threw the ball down in the gym. We had, you know, you have on Fridays, you kind of have that pep rally.
Yeah.
Yeah. So afterwards, doing the basketball. So I came in, and after it's all over, and just threw one down.
Dunked.
Yeah, and they wanted.
Dibs, this guy can dunk.
And
31 years ago, tall tale from the 5'5'9.
And they wanted. And Coach Gordon was going, may rest in peace. They were going to let me play basketball too and do both sports. And I was just like, I'm good. I mean, I could do it.
So, this notion that I can't move is fraudulent. You understand that I refereed 8 games last weekend. I was running up and down the floor. Were you there? Yeah. Were you there at Venetia Valley? Dibs. No, you were not in the gym. Dibs, as I was bursting up and down the floor with a Fox 40 whistle in my mouth.
I got Kerry Keating on the phone. He knows a thing or two about basketball. He wants to weigh in. Yeah. Coach Keating, we got a couple minutes. Thanks for calling in. You and I spoke about this a little bit yesterday. You've been listening. Your thoughts?
Let's clear one thing up here, Joe, as far as Lorenzo Neal's concerned, before I chime in on the refereeing ability. Everyone's claiming his athletic ability from his running back days, but is he not a fullback by nature? Are we on the John Riggins scale? Or
the emphasis is on full.
Of backfield athleticism.
Led the league in rushing my first year until I broke my ankle.
Okay.
That was a game and a half.
Okay, so
ran a 4.55.
There's some precedent set for Lorenzo's athletic ability, claiming he could dunk back in the day. I took a little bit of offense to Dibs' comment yesterday about my inability to be impartial, that he thought I would be tending more towards the low spectrum. But, guys, clearly I'm in the mode right now to make sure everybody gets off that court in one piece. So
sure.
If I'm so able to referee this extravagant event, and by the way, if this isn't an indictment on the Warriors season that you guys spent 2 hours yesterday in the basketball chat, it was about you two guys playing, I don't know what is.
It's a gap year, Coach. It's a gap year.
But, yeah, well, we'll take it. But I'd be happy to help out and make sure that the two fine gentlemen and competitors stay healthy, stay honest, and 10-1 odds be damned. I'd love to see this contest in person and see how it transpires.
Kerry Keating, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for the call, Coach. We'd continue talking with you, but we are up against it. We do have another minute or so I would like to be able to react to that. Coach Keating throwing his hat and his basketball expertise into the ring to offer his services as an official for this event.
He's a nice backup plan. I think that we can do better, quite frankly.
Really?
A guy who is known to berate officials, and now all of a sudden he's going to try to officiate, and the whole quaint notion of we're just trying to make everyone healthy, that's not what you do when you adjudicate a basketball game. Yeah, you want to try to make sure no one gets out there and commits flagrant activity, but I'm not sure if he's the right guy for the job, Joe.
I might have a spot for him. I'm going to need some people on the broadcast. I'm not a trained play-by-play or color man, so I would be happy to bring certain individuals in to help convey what's happening on the court to... I'll be like Kornheiser in the Monday Night Football booth, or Dennis Miller. Okay,
yeah.
Babe.
That'll
be me. I'll do that. Everyone will hate it, and that will be the end.
I'm just surprised that I conceded. I said, you know, Dibs probably beat me in free throws. I conceded. I said, you know what? And then when I just said, you know, more than likely I'd beat him, he's like, oh, and he
more than likely. That's not what you said.
I said,
we have the cut.
And then he said he's going to crush. And then he's like, no way, you can't handle. So, and he went off. And I was like, really? So then he started, and then I had to jump in. And so that's when it got out of hand. I'm looking forward to it. I welcome the opportunity for Dibs. And may the best man win, Dibs. And I don't have any fear. And I'm just going to tell you, I respect him as much as Mike Tyson respected Buster Douglas. So that saying, I can maybe get beat. The guy's a hung too.
February 26th, the disgrace at Chase. More details to follow. We'll have plenty for you. John Heyman set to join us next. Dibs currently a 2.5-point dog. Yesterday, I was polling everyone after the 3.5-point line I put out on you. Yeah. Everyone's telling me they want Dibs. I had to move the number down. I'm taking too much Dibs action. Heyman's next here on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.